I had a man tell me one time, you know, the thing to do, preacher, is begin with the Bible and stay with the Bible. You know, it was quite interesting because this brother brought out to me from the Word of God one of the most interesting thoughts of how true this really is. And I want to share it with you on the broadcast today as we look once again at the Bible picture of Christianity. If you want to follow us today, why don't you get your Bible and open to the 8th chapter of Acts, and while you're finding that place, we simply want to tell you that this is a broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ. We're glad to come into your home, and we trust into your heart with the gospel. Now, this program is never a substitution for church attendance. I realize there are those who are shut in who can't get out to meeting, but it isn't designed as, we might say, a substitute for church attendance. We're told in Hebrews 10:25 to Christians that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But this broadcast is brought to you by your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ as a spiritual assistant to help you and your family come to know God's Word more fully. We do not have the answer to every question, but the Bible does. So we ask you to keep in mind that without cost or obligation, we're always open for any comments, questions that you might have about this broadcast. Feel free to let us know that you're listening, and if you have questions, feel free to send them in. They can be sent to the station that's bringing you this broadcast today, and always mention that it is the Church of Christ broadcast, or to the congregation, its own address, that brings you this broadcast. Well, begin with the Bible and stay with the Bible, and that's what took place in the case of Philip, the evangelist, who, after preaching to the city of Samaria, preached to a man who was on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza going back home to Ethiopia, a man who was a eunuch of great authority, no doubt the secretary of the treasury for Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. You know, he was reading from the Old Testament, namely the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip in verse 26, if you're in chapter 8, and said, "Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert, or is a deserted area." And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and setting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Well, there's a picture. This man is going to meet Philip. In verse 29, "Then the Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "said unto Philip," the evangelist, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him. You know, preachers ought to be on the run today, hadn't they? Well, this was a preacher on the run. He didn't run away from the Lord like Jonah did, but he ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the man in the chariot said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Then the next few verses tell us about where he was reading in the Old Testament. He reads from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. You can read it in your Bible. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." Now he's talking about Jesus here, Isaiah is. He was the lamb. He was the sheep. He had humiliation in his judgment, and his life was taken from the earth. Now the man in the chariot wants to know, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, or of himself some other man?" Now listen to verse 35. It's a wonderful eye-opener, friends. "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." You know, I was in a series of meetings a few years ago out in eastern Kansas, and a brother came to me before the service, and he said, "Now, I understand you're going to talk sometime during this meeting about the story of Philip the evangelist preaching to the man from Ethiopia." And I said, "Well, I'm going to talk about that tonight." You see, that was quite coincidental. He said, "Make this point clear, that here's a preacher that began with the Bible, and he stayed with the Bible." You know, that's important. I don't really relish this, but as I go about the country, I find people are perturbed many times, and saying, "You know, I went to service," or "I went to church," as they used the term last Sunday, "and all I heard was different things about how we're going to raise money, or about the next social event, or those things that are of a physical nature. Now, don't misunderstand me. I understand that the gospel teaches that we're to have fellowship one with another. I know the Bible provides a way by which the church is to be supported. But you know, so many, many times we find that there are people who are preaching who unfortunately are talking more about physical things than they are spiritual. And people sometimes are so hungering and so thirsting for a gospel sermon that a lady told me recently that she came to the Church of Christ because in the community where she lives, she said they told her, if you want to hear the gospel preached, go over there to the Church of Christ. Now, I want to make it clear, friends, that we don't have any more truth than anybody who has the Bible. And we're subject to mistake. I want you to understand that. I'm not saying this boastingly. When the gospel was being preached, wherever it is being preached, in its purity and simplicity, that isn't any more than should be done. But I want to make it clear, and I emphasize this time and time again to brethren, we should be glad in this 20th century that we're still taking the Bible, trying to offer the Bible, trying to live by the Bible. With all our shortcomings, with all our mistakes, we have the criteria that the Lord wants us to have. And I do not say this boastingly, friends, but I say it to the glory of God. You know, Paul told Timotheus, an evangelist, and this ought to be passed on to every preacher. He said, you preach the word, you be instant in season, out of season, you reprove, you rebuke, you exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. What are you going to use as a criteria? You're going to use that gospel. And so here's a preacher, as the good brother told me, he began with the scripture and he stayed with the scripture. Well, after he preached the gospel, they went on their way and they came into a certain water. And a eunuch said, see, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Then Philip said, and here's Bible again, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. He immersed him in that water. With all due respect to people who advocate sprinkling or pouring of water for baptism, here's a case where a man was immersed in water. And that's what the word baptism means. We're not trying to pick an argument with you. We're simply trying to look at the Word of God and give you straight from the Bible what baptism is. Well, what happened? They came up out of the water, and the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. See, the Holy Spirit was behind this whole thing. And the man who had been baptized went on his way rejoicing. And Philip continued to preach the gospel. Here's a man who began with the Bible and stayed with the Bible. You know, there's a lot of things you learn in preaching the gospel over 40 years as we have. But some of the best lessons that I ever learned in my life was right at the very beginning. That doesn't mean I've gained to an extent that I can't learn. I can always learn. But I had a number of older brethren who'd been in the field for a long time as preachers tell me, you do this and you do that, you consider this and you consider that. And I listened to those men, because I had confidence in them, because I knew that they were presenting the truth, because I knew that they were interested in the gospel. And you know, a man said, don't deal with personalities. You got to be personal when you're preaching the gospel, because you're dealing with the souls of men and women, and you can't have anything any closer to you than your soul. But there's a difference between dealing in a personal manner with the soul of that person and dealing in personalities. Now, here's a case where Philip could have really taken advantage, he would have probably thought if his mind were upon that, to spend time in telling this man from Ethiopia how mean those leaders of the Jews were in the city of Jerusalem. After all, they had stoned Stephen, who was a brother in the Lord and perhaps a very close friend of Philip's. But you see, if he'd spent time in talking about how mean the opposition is, he would have never told this man what to do to be saved. And I want to pass this on to you, friends. If you're spending time in bickering and debating and causing a great deal of strife wherever you are, step back and take a good long look at yourself. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Not gossip, not backbiting, not personalities, not subjects that have nothing to do with a person's salvation, redeem the time by offering the positive gospel of Christ that will drive the negative out of people's lives and give them something to live for, something to live by, and something to follow to eternal life. So begin with the Bible and stay with the Bible. And you know, as this man went on his way rejoicing, I believe here's a true case of so-called heartfelt religion. After all, he had obeyed from his heart that wonderful form of doctrine. He'd been told to believe the Word of God. I'm sure he turned to the Lord in full repentance. And we know from the text in this 8th chapter of Acts that he gladly confessed that he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And we know he was baptized, immersed in water, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now may I ask you, is this the gospel way? Jesus had taught in his lifetime in John 14 and 6, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Is this the way? Is this the truth? If it's the way and the truth, then it'll lead you to eternal life. We ask you, friends, to consider diligently if you have really obeyed the gospel. I talk to people every week who made some commitment in their life at one time, and then they realized that they didn't go all the way. We're encouraging you on this broadcast as we look at pure Christianity to not just go halfway. Don't just go with the lip service that you believe in Christ, that you believe in God, but obey from your heart this wonderful gospel just as the man in the chariot did, who then went on his way rejoicing. I believe undoubtedly this man was born again, born of the water and the Spirit. You do the same thing with a sincere heart. It'll take place in your life. Let your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ help you today to do that. Feel free to call upon them. If we can help you, let us know and be back with us next week as we continue on with another lesson in the Bible picture of Christianity.